Hello, I'm sitting here with singer-songwriter Callum Thomas, just discussing his career and where he grew up. An Ossetus lad, I believe, but we'll find out more when we talk to him. Good afternoon, Callum.
Good afternoon, Peter.
Now, what do you want to tell me? Do you want to tell me where you were born and your siblings, a bit about your schooling?
Well, we can start from the beginning if you want. We can start from where I was born.
Very good
and
place
raised.
To start.
Yeah. So I was born in Blackburn, but raised in Oswaldwistle in 1996. Only sibling at the time. My mum was 19 and my dad was 24, 25. And yeah, I grew up with family all around me. Brilliant childhood. And then when I was 9 years old, 9, 10 years old, I had a baby brother. And yeah, I've just been growing up with my mum and dad ever since. I'm a little brother, yeah.
Oh, right. So yeah. Just you and your brother, isn't it?
There's just me and my brother, yes.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah.
And what school did you go to?
I went to Moorend County Primary in Oswaldwistle. And then after leaving primary school, I went to Riddins High School and I left Riddins in 2013. I then went to St Christopher's Sixth Form and studied there for 2 years. 2015 I was to go to Leeds College of Music. Right. That's where I'm currently studying at the moment.
So you're studying music?
Popular composition.
It's a degree course.
It's a degree course. Yeah, you get a full degree out of it at the end. It's a 3-year course and I'm just looking forward to completing it now.
So composition is a very interesting thing to study because a lot of writers, a lot of songwriters tell you that it comes naturally to them and maybe it does to an extent, but then learning about how to formulate that is probably a good thing as well. I mean, I can think of people like Gilbert O'Sullivan, who can't read a word of music.
Yeah.
Lionel Bart, who wrote Oliver, he couldn't read a word of music. That must be really hard, though, because they've got to then formulate the stuff in their head and then somehow get it down on paper, haven't they?
Well, that's it. It's like a lot of classical musicians, famous ones, it's the exact same what you're saying. They've gone blind in the career and they've had to kind of find a different way to write music. But I mean, with writing music, especially writing it down on paper and stuff like that in a kind of a traditional kind of stave kind of way, treble clef and bass clef, once you've been doing that for a very long time, I think you just adapt to how the shape of the melody is going to be and the key signatures and changes of time signatures and
So when did you first realize that you got this musical punch on?
To be honest, I don't remember. I remember when I was just choosing my GCSEs. And I've always loved music. I've always loved singing and performing and acting, even dancing. I just love performing. So when I was going into my third year at Riddings, I chose music. But beforehand, I guess I've always been a singer. I've always even you hear young kids singing, dancing and stuff. So I guess that's where it kind of all started for me. I always used to perform at, there was like this club kind of bar near our house, but it shut down quite a long time ago, called James Street. And me and the family always used to go there. And apparently I'd be on stage with the other acts.
That was a brilliant club, James Street. James I was a member Street. There for a few years.
Yeah.
They had a pianist there called Jack Hume, and he was absolutely brilliant. Probably youth before your time.
Yeah, I definitely brilliant. Will not be able to remember that one, but... No. Yeah, from what I can remember of James Street, it was a brilliant kind of social...
It's a real shame that shut down because it was a hub of the community and it was big enough to host big concerts as well, wasn't it?
I mean, because like I've got my EP launch coming up this Saturday and I mean, that kind of place, I would love to have done it somewhere where I've kind of always been from a young child where I've grown up. It would have been brilliant to do something.
That would have been
like
fantastic,
that. It would have
wouldn't
been,
it?
Yeah.
So at school you were always interested in music. What else were you interested in? Did you have any other subjects that you really excelled at?
Art was another big one for me. Yeah, I always loved. I could just sit there drawing, shading, colouring, even painting. I used to just love just drawing, just different things. I mean, I used to look up paintings from Salvador Dali to Van Gogh and I'd just try and imitate them because I was just inspired by just art in general. Yeah, but I mean, I loved I love maths up to a certain year until GCSEs kicked in. but I pretty much enjoyed every subject. I've always been interested in everything, and I've always kind of appreciated it, you know, different subjects and yeah.
So what's the age difference between you and your brother?
Well, I think I was 9 at the time. I was in my 4th year at primary school when he was born. Yeah, so I think 9 years. He's 12 now and I'm 20. So yeah. I mean, I'm 21 this year. He's just gone 12 last weekend. So yeah, 9 years.
Okay, so you more or less, I bet you had to babysit him sometimes, did you, when you were about 16 and he was,
you know? Well, that's it, you know, my mum and dad would be like, right, we're going out for a bit, or we're going to do some shopping, and my brother's quite, he's one on his own, let's say, that he's very, can be disobedient, but he's got a heart of gold, I guess, but yeah, I don't think they like listening or being told off by their older brothers. I think they're quite like,
no, that's true,
they do not like that.
So does he look up to you though? Is he proud of you now?
I would say he looks up to me because he's always singing. I remember one time he wanted to play the piano because I've got an upright piano in my front room, and he came in and he was just watching me and sing. And then anyway, one day I said, come here and I'll teach you how to play this song. It's just a four chord song all the way through. And it's funny because when you play a chord, you play it really slow. But he was watching how I was actually playing it, like I was arpeggiating at times. And he was even doing that. And it was like, it's really funny to kind of watch that. But I think my mum's got something filmed on her phone where I wasn't in, but he jumped on the piano and he was just doing that four chord all the way through. And it's funny. It really is. I'd love to watch it back again. It's been quite a while since I watched that.
So you said you both like performing. So I'm assuming you were at the front row when they came to parts for school plays and things throughout your
yeah,
school
life. I just loved it. I just used to just sit there or stand, and I'd just be like, my jaw'd hit the floor. I'd just be watching and I wouldn't take my eyes off anything. Just be mesmerised. Because I just love that kind of performing, that acting. I just connected with it straight away.
And it helps you in other forms of life as well, because it gives you that confidence, doesn't it, to talk to people. And
well, that's it. I mean, I work at Franco's in Oswald Twistle. And I mean, when I was younger, I was shy. I was definitely shy. I mean, I wouldn't say I'm quite shy now, but I think that is because of me performing. I mean, I've been doing gigs since I was, early when I was 15, so probably 14, 15 I was, and I would gig up at the Roden Inn pub in Oswald Twistle, and you know, family, friends would come to watch, and my confidence then watching, if I had to go back, it definitely was not as good as it is now. And I think that with performing, I definitely have grown in confidence, and yeah, definitely a lot more talkative.
Yeah, well, that's good. I mean, that's good. And as I say, it always helps as well when you're on stage, because if you're not afraid, that comes over, that you're confident, and it takes people along with you.
Definitely,
you know,
yeah.
I mean, my daughter used to do a bit of singing, and I was scared stiff when she went on stage in case something went wrong. And I was always, because she was a bit nervous, and I was always nervous for her. But like, I've seen you perform, and I'm never worried if I see you perform. I know that you're going to get through it and not have any problems. You know?
Yeah, I mean, it's just something that you grow to, I guess. I mean, you've just got to keep experiencing it, keep practicing, and eventually you'll just feel confident in yourself and you'll just think, I'm going to do it. So.
Well, as I say, I was into that. I was never a singer. I used to love singing, but people used to leave the room. And but I was good at acting. I was really, and my first part was at, when I was 15, I played Henry IV at Holy Family, which is now Mount Carmel. And that, I actually put that on tape, and it was actually a 20-minute solid speech. And I learned every line, and I still know most of it yet. So
right. How old was you then?
Sticks. I was 15 then.
Wow.
And yeah, it was a real experience. I really enjoyed it. I actually got approached by Accrington Amateurs, but I was working every hour God sent, and I didn't bother. And then when I worked at Wristwires, and then when I was about 30, I decided we'd start our own drama group for risk players. So yes, I've always been into that, but as I say, I haven't got that. I can't sing. I also play the piano, well, badly. I learned from being 8 to 14, but I did really well. I got honours at all the theory exams, but I was rubbish when it came to playing.
Yeah.
So that's unfortunate. But yes, I do admire somebody that can do what you do on stage.
Oh, thank you.
And especially when you write your own stuff as well. That's an added bonus, isn't it?
Well, I guess so, yeah. I think that was the thing when I was going into my third year. No, it wasn't, sorry. When I was going into my fourth year, I was going into year 10 at the time, and I remember it was September, and I kind of thought to myself, what can I do to stand out to everyone else? It wasn't competing, because I don't think that you should compete. I think you should focus on yourself about growing and how you can become better. But that's something I was thinking in Riddens. I was thinking, how can I stand out from everyone else? How can I excel more? I sung behind a mic stand. There's nothing wrong with that, I don't think. But for me, I wanted to push myself because I was really inspired by Freddie Mercury and Elton John and a lot of 70s, 80s artists and Bowie at the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I kind of looked to my inspirations and thought, how can I become bigger and better?
I think you said to me once that you were born in the wrong era, didn't you?
Definitely. I think, yeah, I should have been born in the 60s and then grown through the 70s and 80s. I think that would have been brilliant for me. But unfortunately, no.
There were your influences then.
Yeah, I mean, not so much Bowie. I mean, I knew Bowie, but I think Queen at the time was...
Oh, they were absolutely electric, weren't they?
They were
brilliant group, yeah.
And Elton John, I mean, the first song I heard of Elton John was Candle in the Wind, but it wasn't the Marilyn Monroe version, it was the Princess Diana's.
Oh, yeah.
And I just fell in love with it. And that was actually the song, that live recording that's on YouTube. I watched that and I thought, I want to learn the piano.
Yeah.
And
amazing. That
I
was
think,
in 1997 when he did that at Diana's funeral.
Diana's,
wasn't it?
Yeah. And I mean, because before I learned to play the guitar, but I couldn't sit there and learn, you know, certain songs. I just couldn't do it because I found it too. I was just an impatient child. I just wanted to do it as fast as I could, and then it just wouldn't work out. So I just moved on to the piano, and then I kind of excelled from there, really.
Well, as you've alluded to already, that you have this launch of your EP on Saturday at the Oswald Twistle Civic Centre,
yeah.
And I hope that goes really well for you. But you brought some music along with you today to play on this podcast, and we'll go to the first track now, which is called Rebirth. Now, this is the title track to your EP,
yeah.
So we'll play it and then we'll come back to you. You can tell us a little bit about that song.
Time, the hours in my hand, it feels so surreal, the power's in my hand, color is raging, I feel the urge in me, and my heart is racing, I feel changing me. In me. that my heart is racing. I feel the change in me.
Okay, that was Rebirth, the title track from your new EP. Can you tell me a little bit more about that?
Yeah, so Rebirth is about kind of reinventing yourself as an artist, and that is really what the EP is about. For me, I haven't released anything since 2013, so that's a good 4 years ago. And over this last 4 years, I've kind of been experimenting with styles of what suit me best. And that has been through gigging, through supporting other artists and etc. really. With my gigs, I've been performing genres, such as rock, indie, pop, soul, disco, and the list goes on really. So Rebirth for me was that time frame, that 4 years of me continuously experimenting and with what styles would be best for me. And it's funny because the EP, all five songs are completely different but the same. The EP is electronic, it's electronic pop music with elements of live guitars and etc. really. So all five are completely different. However, Rebirth, as you've just heard, it's quite atmospheric, it's quite church-like, and as you could hear in the middle eight, it did have a kind of a rock drive to it. So that's kind of like the rebirth coming out of it, the meaning behind it. Also as well, there's another song called Rye, which you'll probably play that next, but that is quite, again, it's rocky and it maintains that rock element all the way through. And then you've got another song later on. I don't want to give too much away.
Of course.
But Sober, that's kind of not rock. It's kind of tropical dance pop music. So influenced by artists such as Sia and Gaga. So yeah, that's kind of the EP. It's kind of broad and it's all got their own kind of meanings, but yeah, the song Rebirth is again just the exact same meaning as the EP, and I thought that is the perfect title for the EP because that's the process of what I've been doing over the last 4 years. So
yeah. So the EP that you brought out before, how did that sell? Did you?
That went really well. It's called Dust to Dawn, and I released that in December 2013. I went to a recording studio in Haywoodbury, where I recorded five songs, again all my own music, with A&R producer Andy Ross at A-Star Studios. And yeah, I wrote all the songs. However, the differences between the first EP and the second EP is that the second EP I kind of produced I produce the sounds and the structures and kind of the development of synths, of drum beats and even harmonies. But again, with this EP, I can't take all the credit because I've got a very dear friend back home, Tom, who helped kind of make it sound full and kind of how I wanted it to sound. So he kind of knew where it wanted to go and he just kind of finished that for me, yeah.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I mean, obviously, your ambition is to sell more records for one thing, but ultimately, what do you want to? Where do you see yourself being in the music business? Where do you think? What would your ambition tell you that you're capable of doing and that you want to do?
Well, I mean, I think what I'm known for around Oswald Twistle is they know me as a singer and a pianist. But if you do come to watch my shows, I do play my own stuff. I don't play it all the way through. I do a lot of covers. I play probably two or three of my own through the entire night. And when I first played Sober live at one of my gigs, people was kind of taken back because they were... It's a very top 40 kind of song.
Mm.
And people was kind of enjoying the dance feel to it. And that's something that people was like, is that your song? And obviously I said yes. And they was like, that's brilliant. Like, it's fantastic that you can write a song like that. So I think where I could see myself in the future is definitely writing music. I mean, I'd love to perform my own music professionally and, you know, do tours and stuff like that. I think that's every musician's dream. However, I think that me writing for other artists is just as good because that's way of...
And it's quite a lucrative thing to do as well, isn't it? I mean, Gary Butler doesn't do too badly.
Well, that's it. I mean, there's plenty of artists out there that have done it. I mean, there's a lot of the 21st century artists now, they do write their own music and they write for other people as well. So, yeah, I think writing music is definitely something I can see myself doing, but performing, maybe that's another thing as well that I'd love to do.
Talking about that song Sober, because I've heard that one a couple of times, and if I'm not mistaken, and correct me if I am, it's about somebody who doesn't want to be sober anymore because he's lost his girl, he's really, you know, he's really very sad and everything. But knowing you, I don't know if you drink or not, but I wouldn't imagine that you'd be the sort to be in that position. So really, you had to do a bit of research. It's a bit like writing a novel because you had to do a bit of research and you had to try and get into the head of this person because obviously it was a very mature song for someone of your age to write.
Sober is about obviously being, not sober. And to be honest, it's not really about relationships or missing anyone as such. Or it's really about... This is going to sound really bad, but I was basically, I had a few drinks one night and I sat at the piano and I was just writing music. And it was funny for me because I'm one of those people who are quite critical of my own work. I'm one of those that notice any faults straight away and I try and correct them, the slightest thing. But sober for me, obviously when you're drunk, you feel a lot more free. You feel like you dare to do things that you wouldn't normally do when you are sober. So that the meaning behind sober is with music, it's about just doing something that you wouldn't normally do. Just pushing yourself, actually not even pushing yourself, just letting the music come out, letting the lyrical content out, let the melodies that you've had trapped in your head out, try and fix pieces together and just let music flow, because I believe that music isn't... kind of, it's not strict at all. It doesn't have a particular structure that everyone goes off. It's quite subject to change. It's mutable. Mm. It's ever changing. And sober, yeah, it's just about kind of letting go of everything and just being more free with music in general. Yeah.
Okay, until the morning after.
Until the morning after, until you wake up with a horrendous hangover and then you're craving something that you don't know what it is.
Yeah, very good though. And I mean, I do think, because I'm a writer, I love listening to lyrics. I mean, sometimes the lyrics can get lost in the background music and everything, which upsets me, because if they're good lyrics, they need to be forefront, they need to be heard.
Yeah, definitely. Well, I mean, I agree with that. I think that melody is one thing, but I think once you apply lyrics to a melody, that's where the emotion comes out. Mm. I mean, you can write a brilliant melody, but if you've got crap lyrics, then it doesn't carry it. Where if you've got brilliant lyrics, brilliant metaphors or similes or whatever, it just carries it, and it reels the listener in.
I mean, you'll be familiar with the artist, but you might not be familiar with a lot of his work. But Billy Joel, I used to love his lyrics, especially one called Innocent Man, which I don't know if you know. That was the title of an LP. It was also a song which I loved. I love listening to that. Mm. It's a very slow song, but the lyrics were absolutely brilliant on it. And another one I enjoyed in the 70s, as you've probably heard many times, is Peter Sarsted, Where Do You Go To My Lovely Now? At that time, I was trying to write songs because I'm a poet. I do write poetry. And that was a song I would have loved to have written, that one, you know, at that time, yeah. I mean, obviously things change, and there's probably others now that I would have.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, like you said, I mean, poetry is so similar to songwriting. I mean, it basically is the same thing. However, you just put in a song, you just put in a few chords down and a melody over the top. Mm. So, again, you can relate with me, and I can obviously relate with you about poetry and songwriting. You're a poet, you know what lyrics are effective, don't you?
And I mean it doesn't, a lot of songs don't need to rhyme, but they use assonance sometimes, don't they? And also with songs, you've got to have some sort of structure, because you've got to have something that people will relate to throughout the song, haven't you? Like in a poem where you have canyon, you know, and it flows, and that's the sort of thing you need to do.
That's the thing. It's the flowing. That's the thing that you've got to keep the listener interested in.
So, I mean, you've written quite a few songs, and have you ever written a romantic ballad? Have you ever written one that's you could just say it's one of these songs that, you know, just a romantic ballad?
Yeah, I think that when I first started writing music, I think it was all about love for me. It was all about, you know, trying to find love and experiencing love. And I was writing stuff that I've never experienced in my entire life before. So I think that because right at the start of my songwriting days, when I started writing all these love songs, I've kind of drifted off that now and kind of gone to more things that aren't as obvious. And I've tried to think about things a lot more in depth about, and you know, like Rebirth, and obviously you'll hear the next song later, Rye. I haven't tried yet since writing any love songs, but I mean, yeah.
No, just a.
I mean, know. Yeah. I mean, it probably will happen. It probably will happen when I feel that kind of.
Of course. Okay. Yeah. Well, we'll go on to the next track now, which is Rye. And you've told me a little bit about this, but we'll chat more about your ambitions and what you're doing at the moment after this.
Sky blues, indigo color, sounds on the hill. speed of light, time it takes me to the land of right. I'm on my way.
Back with Callum Thomas. We've just been listening to another of the songs from the EP called Rye. And I know you told me a little bit about this. Is there anything else you want to add? And then do you want to tell me more about what happens after Saturday?
Yeah, so Rye is, as probably a lot of you are thinking, like, Rye, that's quite Queen-inspired. And you're completely right.
Well, Seas of Rye.
Seas of Rye. Basically, when I was doing my research into Freddie Mercury about, one or two years ago now, and I was listening to a few of his songs, and Seas of Rye popped up, and I thought, what, Seas of Rye, what is Rye? And that was kind of the big thing for me. I was like, trying to understand, what is Rye? Where is it? Is it a place? Is it a piece of furniture? What is it? I have no idea. So I was doing my research and found out that when Freddie Mercury was kind of writing music, or even just trying to get away from the reality of things and wanting to go into this fantasy world, he would go to Rye. And I think it's something so kind of detailed. It's something like, it's some kind of island just off, I don't know, around about Turkey or something like that, which is, it's full of desert and it's quite eastern. It's quite eastern, with the look of everything. And I was quite inspired by that. And I kind of not wanted to steal it as such, that idea, but I wanted to kind of explore it more. Because with my version of Rye, is really about when you listen to music. I think we all listen to music and we're all taken away, for whether it's briefly or whether it's throughout the whole song, we're taken away into a different place. And with me, I know that when I travel to university, I stick my earphones in my ears and I'm just away. I'm just in a different dimension. Although I can see things, or even though I can see like the person in front of me on the train, my mind will be in a different place. I'll have zoned out. And it's that escapism that I was really inspired by. And that's where Rye came from, really. It was half inspired by Freddie Mercury's idea, but inspired by this kind of escapism that music has on us.
And you mentioned an instant influence. And, of course, Freddie Mercury was born in Zanzibar, wasn't he?
Yes. Yeah.
Which a lot of people well, probably everybody knows it that does quizzes now, because it's
very
much repeated quiz Preston. Now, I was going to say that you've got this launch on Saturday, and then Sunday you've another gig, haven't you?
Which I'm very excited
big,
about.
Accrington Carnival,
yes, I can't wait. It's a very busy
done,
weekend. Yeah, I mean, yeah,
you've done the last
wait.
Two Oswaldtwist Carnivals, because I know I've seen you, I've taken your photographs. This is your first Accrington one, isn't it?
This is the first Accrington one, yes. I'm really excited for it. I mean, I'm on at 1:30 till 2:00, and I just... I think it's on the Oak Hill, the band stage. And I just can't wait. I just really cannot wait. It's going to be, hopefully the sun will be shining. I've checked the weather and the sun is supposed to be, the sun is supposed to be coming out here and there. So hopefully it does actually come out.
Thankfully not as hot as it's been lately though, because there's Tracy was reminding me there's a mascot's race on later on, and they're all covered in fur and stuff. So
that'd be a bit too hot. I mean, if you're if you're going around the Accrington Carnival and, you know, those people who are, you know, actually not taking part in it as such, then it'll be a beautiful day. But for the ones who are, who are actually working and performing and dressing up and stuff like that, like, if it is hot, then it's going to be it's going to be 10 times worse for those people.
Absolutely. But it's going to be, I mean, yeah, we've got fine weather. There's nothing better than open air concert in fine weather.
Definitely not.
But with a few beers.
Yes. A few being the word.
There's a group on that my daughter knows, but I think they're on last, actually, called Marching Bones. I don't know if you know anything about them at all. They've got 3/4 of an hour, so I'll be having a word with...
Well, unfortunately, I was supposed to be on from, I think, 3:30 till 4, but because I've got work...
Back at Franco's.
Because the boss is off, so...
I know your boss was saying to us when we came up that... she gets a bit fed up because you're asking for time off when you have these gigs.
That's it. She loves it, really.
Well, does, because I mean, it's not bad. It's not bad. It's not bad publicity for
Well, Rangers, that's it. I think people look at me, and it's funny because I probably didn't know a lot of people until I kind of worked at Franco's, because I've always been one of those who have sat in the house, didn't really get out much, but a lot of people know my family around Oswaldtwistle. So I think when I went to Franco's, that was for me to kind of know my own people, not really relying on the kind of the surname, do you know what I mean, kind of thing. So, I mean, if I perform in Oswaldtwistle, whether it's at the Black Dog or Hazen or the Tiger Lounge, people will come in and be like, oh, that's the waiter in Franco's. And then when they come in Franco's next time, they're like, come on, give us a song. I'm like, no. I charge by the hour.
Yeah, good for you.
Yeah.
So, yeah. Right, we'll go to the next piece of music, which is Energy. And then you can tell us a little bit more about the influence behind that or whatever after this. Thank you.
You know you get me all hyped up when you turn the lights down low. Once the sun goes down and the curtains up, you can no longer control. Just touch me, baby. My hard drive overloads, and the static I hold will melt into your core. Can't defuse my motherboard. She's my mouse to a meal. You can have me if you download. She's got me fit too, 'cause I'm viral. Pop the voltage, set up my charge until the fuse overheats. Plug me in and now control me. Turn me on, feel the energy. You know that my DNA's know what you expect and more. If you wanna see my words evolve, just start my pulse to flow. Lights, camera, action, sex, tech, music, and fashion. Send my name where it out and let me work for your applause. Come defuse my mother, boy. She's my mouth to a meal. You can have me free to load. She's got me fit too, 'cause I'm viral. Pop the voltage, set up my charge. so wrong like I knew you would. Through all my digital victories, you wanna see me blow in HD. I'm starting to feel out of control. Till the fuse overheats and my wires break apart. Pump up the voltage, turn up my charge. Until the fuse overheats and my wires break apart.
Right, that was called Energy, and just in case anybody hasn't cottoned on, we're going to listen to all the tracks in this podcast from the EP, so that's brilliant, and thanks for bringing that along for us.
Yeah, thank you.
And of course, this will go on the website, so people can listen to this, and if they keep listening, they might think, oh, I like that, I'll buy that one, so you never know.
Yeah,
so
you never know, do you? Hopefully I can reach out to more people.
Well, I mean, the first time I ever saw you was Ozzy Twister Carnival in 2014, I think, yeah.
Mm,
yeah. So you would be, well, what is it now? It's 17. So you'd be 17 then, would you?
17, I think I was, yeah.
So I saw you there, and I saw you again 2 years later, and I think I commented on how good you were. You were very good at both, but how brilliant you were 2 years later, and it really blew me away. And when we were trying to save Ozzy Twister Library, it was one of the reasons that you were one of the first people on my list to ask, and you were very kind to give your services for nothing for us.
Well, it's about saving the community at the end of the day, isn't it? It's all about helping.
Well, it is, and we got Mark Dowding to come over as well, as the folk singer. And then we had Les Bond, of course, and we had the Writer of the Year from Lancashire Authors at that time, which was Dan Forrester, so it's a good day. But what I did notice, and what I've noticed since then, when you actually came and played for us at Lancashire Authors, you're always very well supported by your family. Your mum and dad usually come along, don't they? And your nan.
I don't think my mum has a choice because she's the roadie.
She's the
one that's driving me around. But my family have been a big support since my first gig. When I was 15, 16, they've always enjoyed coming. But, I mean, there's not really anyone in the family who performs as such. So, I mean, it's something different for the family, really, to kind of have for the qualities in terms of me being able to perform and stuff like that. Because a lot of the family, they like the sport and drinking. But yeah, it's something different because we don't have a lot of performers in the family. I don't think we have any. No.
Well, that's good. But as I said, and they come along and they're always supportive. But one thing I even noticed at Lancashire Authors, and that was only a very small gathering, which I'm disappointed about actually. But it must happen in pubs as well, where people just ignore you completely and get on with the conversations and the drinking and the going to the bar all the time.
Yeah.
And this must annoy you because any performer, especially if, you know, someone who writes lyric, you want people to listen to it, don't you? I mean, it's the same with we poets. You want people to listen.
Yeah, and I think there is that. But, I mean, at the same time, the thing that kind of weighs that is the fact that, you know, in pubs, it's quite different to organisations such as the author, the events, the other month.
Lancashire Authors.
Yeah, Lancashire Authors. It's quite different because I think Lancashire Authors, they're all artists themselves. They all write stories, poetry, and they're that way inclined, where in pubs, people are pretty much not there to listen to the artist, but to just have a drink and just kind of take in the atmosphere there.
Yeah.
But for me, I think my gran would totally agree with you there, because she's like, oh, no one's listening, everyone's talking, and then she's telling everyone to shut up, and then I'm just putting my palm into my hand, my palm into my face, sorry. It's just,
your head into your palm. Yeah, head into
yeah. Yeah. yeah, but I think the thing is that I don't mind if people don't listen. I don't go to do gigs for people to just sit there and watch me.
No.
To be honest, I actually prefer when people don't watch me all the time. I know that might be a bit like strange, but when people, if you think about it, in a pub on a busy night, say a Saturday night, at about 10:30, is probably the peak of a pub's kind of other people they let in.
Hmm.
So if you imagine, 50 people, 60 people in the building watching you, all eyes are on you, it's just so, it's scary. It's a bit like, oh my, right, everyone's watching me. If I do one little mistake, everyone's going to look at each other and I'm going to be embarrassed. But yeah, I do enjoy when people talk. And I mean, the thing that I always think about is that people are still taking it, the music in. Although they might be speaking to someone else when they're not speaking, or whether they're just looking around, whether they're just walking around, whether at the bar, ordering drinks, waiting for the drink, they're still taking the music in. So that's what I always
and
think.
And I suppose, you know, if they do listen, and even if they're talking and they're listening to you, they'll probably turn around and say, he's good, you know. And that's what you need, because as soon as people say that and they see you on somewhere else, they want to come and see you again, don't
that's
they?
It. That's... I mean, yeah, I've been doing it, since I was 15. And I mean, I've grown tremendously. Not being big-headed, but I have. I mean, it's 5 years. I mean, there's a lot of improvement. But there was always a small family that came into the road, and when I was 15, when I first started, and they, I think they saw me in the Tiger Lounge last year, and they said, he's got so much better. Mm. Just, not just vocally, not just my skills with the piano, and not just songwriting, but the confidence again that we touched on before. So yeah, it's good for people to notice that, especially because I won't notice that, because I mean, I'm doing it.
When you played at Oswald Twister Library, and Les Bond's a guitarist and he writes songs as well. I don't know if you know much about Les. He's also an expert on Accrington Pals, so he sort of wears two hats there. But he just said that lad's got really good keyboard skills. He said he's really, really good musician, and that's the sort of people you want to be noticing.
It's good that musicians are saying that about other musicians as well. I think that's more that people who are in that industry, that business, it's really nice and warming for people to say that.
I think Mark Dowding said something similar as well. So it's one of these incontrovertible things, isn't it? If you're good, people know you're good, you know, and if you're not good, well, you know, there's no point going on this if it's one of these.
Well,
but you are good, and I hope you're going for quite a bit longer yet.
Thank you.
Sure you will.
Yeah.
Now, we'll get to a song we were talking about earlier now, which is the next one on your list, and it's called Sober.
So
we'll listen to Sober, then we'll chat a little bit more before we wind this up.
No problem.
Shots all for fun, and I'll be losing my melodies with seventh harmonies hitting all of the wrong keys. I think I found myself an answer. Tick 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 off the problem. Tick 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 off the problem. I think I found myself an answer. I'll make sure that I'm the last one at the bar drinking my solution. My poor elocution, my slurred words, my abstract vision. All these lights, my body will be alright. I'll dance my heart and my much alike. Sambu coupled black and white. I'll toss my tears to the sky. But if you let me run dry, I'll mix my dreams with what I cry. I think I found myself an answer. Tick, 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 tick off the problem. Tick, 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 tick off the problem. I think I found myself an answer. I'll make sure that I'm the last one at the bar drinking my solution. My poor elocution, my slurred words, my abstract evasion.
Sober, which we both are, of course. And we'll go on to a little bit more about, well, obviously your family, and because you live in Oslo Twistle, and you do quite a lot for a local church. Is it Holy Trinity? Is it in New Lane?
Yeah, bottom of New Lane. Yeah.
I know you do some gigs for them for free, don't you, for charities and for helping them.
Yeah, fundraising kind of. Yeah. I mean, I've been probably part of the church that kind of community first since. I don't know. I've probably been part of it for two years, going on 3 years. Yeah.
So is religion something that's important to you personally? Or?
Well, I mean, it is, but I mean, I'm not heavily religious as such.
No.
Really, my granny's religious. You know, she believes in everything and da 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 so on. But for me, it's not really about that. It's about the faith. It's about having faith and kind of belief. That's why I go. To kind of get some inspiration from somewhere, to kind of, if I've got something big coming up, or if I've, you know, like exams, like I pray that everything will go well and stuff
so,
like that. Yeah.
So you're more spiritual than religious then?
Yeah, okay. I guess so, yeah. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, that's good though, because, I mean, it doesn't matter, if you could say you're an atheist or an agnostic or whatever you want to label yourself, but if you're in a boat that's falling down a weir, you're going to say prayers, aren't you?
Well, that's it, you do.
This is it, you know, I mean, I think we all acknowledge there's something there that's greater than us that, you know, that we need to bow down to, sort of thing. So that's just one of those. Back to your singing. Now, I said you're going to do this EP launch. Do you actually have a few gigs planned for future, the way you're going to...
Yeah, I mean, I'm really kind of... Well, I've got a lot of holidays and festivals and stuff lined up. So I kind of plan them at the beginning of the year. So I've had to plan my gigs around them and stuff like that.
Oh, right. You mean like festivals going to see other artists?
Other artists and, yeah, and yeah, stuff like that. So, I mean, yeah, on the 1st of July, I'm in Oslo Twistle. That is my next gig at the Hayes Inn on Stonebridge Lane. And then in August, I'm up at Haslinden on the 19th at the Griffin. The Griffin Inn, and then the day after on the Sunday at 5 p.m. I'm at Tricky's over West End.
Oh yeah.
So yes. So you from what I can remember off the top of my head, anyway,
you do a lot in Oslo Twistle.
Yeah. Oslo Twistle is where I'm based. So,
but so,
yeah.
So you haven't got an agent or anything yet? No.
To be honest, I don't. I try and do everything myself. Yeah. I mean, when it comes to editing and producing, and I try and do everything myself. Obviously, you know, I've got help and stuff like that. But again, when it comes to gigs, you know, people say, oh, you should try this venue, or this guy at this pub will really like you. So, I don't really go off agents and stuff, no, because I can do it all myself, really.
Oh, that's good. And like I say, once you get this out into the general public, this CD, and I'm presuming it, apart from being downloaded, you'll be able to buy this somewhere, will you, as well?
The EP is available, Rebirth, it will be available on the night of my EP launch, which starts at, the doors open at 7, and it'll finish at approximately 9:30, but I mean from 9:30 it will be available to purchase a hard copy, really. Mm-hmm. And I mean, even if you don't turn up at the EP launch, you can always get in contact over Facebook or over the website, and you can just ask for an EP then, you know, we'll obviously sort something out.
Yeah,
but it won't be in HMV or anything like that.
Yeah. So is this going to be available in shops as well, or?
Yeah, well, like I said, it won't be in HMV, unfortunately, and stuff like that. It's not that big, but there are limited copies. So if you are liking any of these songs you are listening to, if there's just one, or you know, and you want to support a local artist, then just get in touch and we can sort something out. But like I said, there are limited copies, which once they are gone until the online downloads.
And how much would it cost for somebody to buy a copy?
It'll be £5 for.
Oh, that's really
reasonable. So yeah. Again, if I've got my first EP as well, Dust to Dawn, which is £2 for 5 songs. Again, same length of songs. So yeah. Yeah.
Right. Well, before I let you go, tell me a little bit about what Callum Thomas does to relax.
What I do to relax? I do a lot of things. I like to to be honest, music is always something that has been there for me. So even if I'm not singing or writing music, I just like playing on the piano. That is something, you know, not doing anything too complex, but just playing little melodies and chord progressions and etc. But I mean, I do like my games. I love playing on the PS4 or even Nintendo consoles. But I do go to the gym and stuff like that, and I like socializing with friends and going for drinks and stuff like that in around Heimben.
Do you have any favorite films?
Films, I love fantasy films. surprisingly, I love anything like Lord of the Rings, Star Wars. Yeah, I love anything that has kind of. Oh, and I also love horrors, which have like zombies in and stuff like that. I really love stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Comedies as well. I love a comedy or two. Yeah.
And do you read a lot? Do you read anything?
To be honest, I don't read. I used to read when I was younger, but I just kind of fell out with it, I guess. I know that's really bad, but yeah, I don't know what it is. I just fell out with it.
Yeah. So, is there anything else you want to tell me before we wind this up?
Just for everyone out there listening, not just me, but support any local artists that are on, because at the end of the day, you anything could happen. You know, they could end up really big, or they might end up writing for another artist. They might end up performing at Glastonbury, or they might be on the radio, or you know, so just always support your local artists, because everyone starts from somewhere.
Yeah. And what advice would you give to people in your position, perhaps a little bit younger, that are hoping to?
I would say even if you aren't confident, act it, because when you're nervous, it will show. So even if you are terrified, even if you're looking out and people are laughing at you, that you think they might be laughing at you, just kind of have that determination on your face that you're going to do a good job.
Okay, well, thank you very much, Callum.
Thank you very much, Peter. Nice talking to you.
I wish you every success with your EP.
Thank you very much. I hope everybody
in Oslo buys it, and in Accrington, and maybe all over the country.
Yeah, thank you very much, Peter, for this interview.
So we'll finish now with a last piece of music. If you want to talk about this one, that's fine as well. It's called Shade of Colour.
Shade of Colour, yeah. So Shade of Colour is the last song on the EP, and it's another bouncy song which is on the EP. Quite major. It's not really dark as such at all. And Shade of Colour is, I wanted to write a song that would affect, that talks about everyone, that talks about the world and stuff like that, and insecurities and stuff like that, and kind of saying that everyone's unique in their own way. Everyone's got their own perks, everyone's got their own kind of flaws. So for me, for kind of a metaphor really for kind of this is that everyone is they're like colours. We've all got a unique shade, but we might all be, let's say, go at the colour purple, but we've all got our own slight shade of purple, if you understand what I mean.
Yes, I do.
Everyone is quite unique in their own way. So it really is about that, and it's about celebrating and loving yourself for who you are. Don't look at other people and think, I wish I was like them, because they're probably looking at you and thinking, I wish I was a bit like them.
Thank you very much for that, Callum.
Thank you, Peter.
We'll listen to this now, Shade of Colour.
I'm glistening in my own way.